Well, hey folks, welcome to my daily update video. I trust you well, wherever you're at. I'm back in America. It is great to be back in America. I was thinking this today, I actually love leaving in America because I love coming back here. And every time I come back here, it feels like I'm here for the first time. It's a great place to live and glad to be here in the plan of God. But wherever you are at in the world today, God is for you, not against you, and just sending our love and blessing. Hey, as usual, a few housekeeping things. If you're new to my YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button and check out the links below, including our email newsletter. It'd be great to send you that. This coming weekend, tomorrow, I'm going to be here in Sturbridge Worship Center speaking about heaven and Jerusalem above, Jerusalem below. Very interesting message. And at 3 p.m., I'm going to be in Southern Connecticut, in Norwalk, Connecticut, in New England Fellowship, in Flaxhill Road, Norwalk, speaking again about heaven. And we're going to be leading worship there and bringing some of heaven down. So I hope we can see you tomorrow if you are in New England. And if not, join us online. Good. Hey, I want to share something real quick with you guys, just thinking about. This is about how to use your emotions rather than have them use you. What does God want us to do with our emotions? How can we harness our emotions and not let our emotions be kind of the tail that wags the dog in our life? Because, you know, as a pastor dealing with individuals, with people, it's actually true for all of us, really, especially until we practice some spiritual disciplines and get some things really foundational in our life. It's true of all of us that our emotions can cause us so many problems at times. And I think what religion has done, or Freudian psychology, or modern pharmaceutics and different things like that, really don't give the simple answers the Bible does. And I see so many people who their emotions literally make their lives miserable. So I want to give you five quick keys, just thinking about this driving here today, on what does God want us to do with our emotions? How do we let the wind of Holy Spirit fill our emotions and make them something wonderful rather than something terrible? So I want to read a few verses to begin with. This is Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is one of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm, you know, that begins as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul yearns for you, O Lord. You know, David was a very emotional person. You see literally the highs and the lows in David. You see somebody who's very real with his emotions. And yet he's the man, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. Selah. Boom. So David says here, let me reading on. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for yet will I praise him, for he is the help of my countenance. And five quick keys that will help you in your journey with your emotions. Come on. Key number one, emotions are real. Let me say this, emotions are real. And the worst thing we can do, and I've seen a bunch of this in religion and in kind of positive thinking, is just to deny our emotions, is to push them under the rug, is to pretend they are not there. You know, it's a generalization, but it's a true one, that depression is frozen anger. Mm-hmm. When people get depressed and miserable or whatever, it's usually they've just been throwing junk under the carpet, if you will, into the storage closet of the soul of their life. And suddenly all the stuff's eating away at the inside of them. So number one, emotions are real. Don't deny them. Yet Jesus never comes along and pats us on the head and says, never mind, you know, cheer up, old chap. You don't really need to feel that way. If you're feeling something, it's real. Yeah, if you're feeling depressed today, it's real. If you're feeling sad, if you're feeling grief today, it's real. If you're feeling happiness, but let's talk about the you know, if you're feeling anger and frustration and all of those things, they're real. And God is a real God, and he deals with real things, and he wants us to be real. So, you know, in the same way as if I went to somebody in pain and said, oh, that pain isn't real, it's just a symptom. That's actually quite a stupid thing to say, because it doesn't matter whether I have a pain or the symptom of pain, it feels just as bad. And I need the healing power of Jesus to come through. So don't deny things. Emotions are real. But number two, emotions are transitory. They're not permanent. It's very, very true. And it's so funny, because when you're feeling something, it's so real. It's an interesting thing, but I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I was thinking about this recently. This is true for me anyway. I think we are more in tune with ourselves emotionally than we even are physically. You know, I've been doing a whole bunch of fasting recently, and I've been sometimes just taking the time to notice and actually think, how hungry am I really? You know, at times I get into that place where I'm hungry. I mean, I haven't eaten, I'm hungry, or, you know, and I do food, and then I start thinking about it, and you can get quite easily into that place where, oh, I just can't stand this, it's so hard, I can't resist the temptation. And I've noticed just for myself, if I actually sit down and think, well, you know, how much pain am I really in? How hungry am I really? And, you know, if I haven't eaten, if I'm fasting, I'm usually hungry, but it's not that hard. It's not that hungry. It's not you know, if you were to walk up a hill, your body would probably rather walk down a hill, and your body would rather eat than it would not eat. But it's not that painful. What happens is there's a physical reality I'm going through, and then I begin thinking about it, and then I begin getting like, oh, your emotions whip it up into a big thing. So emotions are real, but they can change really, really quickly. And the it's real that you're going through them, but they're often not real. I mean, I don't want to play games with you now, but imagine if I came to one of you watching this video and I told you something that was completely untrue. I told you one of your parents had just been in an accident, and there'd been an attack on New York City. I know, some thing that's not true, okay? But if you were to believe me in the lie I told, you will begin to experience emotions that are, they're not true, but it's true you're having them, that are real. If you believe a liar, you empower the liar. But if you believe a lie, that lie becomes the truth to you, and you will feel like it is true, and you will experience grief, you'll experience pain, you will experience all of those things right now, even though they're not true. And it's true you're going through those things. You know, you can be feeling something that's so real, and yet half an hour later be feeling something completely different. So number one, emotions are real. Number two, they're not permanent. They can change. They can change really, really quickly. Number three, this is really great to understand. Emotions are to our soul what nerves are to our body. Yeah, so your body has, let's say, a nervous system, and it tells you, if I were to pinch myself now, I'm feeling some pain go through my body. If I put my hand in the fire, ow! And yet at the same time, emotions, nerves can give you pleasures. It could be a caress. It could be the taste of something wonderful in your mouth. So you have this system which can experience pleasure or warn you of something. And the issue, you know, if you have pain in your body, the issue is not how do you get rid of it so much as why is it there? If I had a really bad toothache right now, I could probably go and get some medication, Brufen, codeine, I don't know, whatever, and get rid of the pain. But it's not really getting rid of the underlying issue. And so often I think our emotions are like that. When you're going through emotional state, your emotions are telling you something. So rather than say, how do I get rid of the emotion? Like medicate, self-medicate, comfort food, entertainment, more pleasure, go on Amazon and click buy, all those kind of things. What we really should be saying, and more importantly, what we should be praying is, what is the root cause of this? Boom. So emotions are to our soul what nerve endings, what our nervous system, if you will, is to our body. And what we should also always be saying is, Lord, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? What's the root cause of this? Have I believed a lie which is causing me to feel this way? Have I accepted some lie about myself, that to be happy everybody has to like me? It's funny, I love being a pastor in one way, but I hate being a pastor, because pastors always have their heart broken. It's rarely probably more than 2 or 3 weeks never go by without somebody going crazy, somebody leaving, somebody getting angry, somebody getting hurt and this. And being a pastor is like being a mom in a way. It's just you're setting yourself up for pain or whatever. And I had to realize I was going through emotional pain. It was like dying the death of 1,000 cuts. I know so many pastors. I can't tell you how many pastors. It's like nobody sees what's really going on. You know, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. And people, you know, churches give pastor a check. The best way you can help your pastor is love one another. Seriously. Okay. But my point there is I had to realize I was having some... The issue wasn't other people for me. The issue was I actually wanted everybody to like me. I didn't want anybody to leave. I want to shepherd and gather everybody together and care. I actually had to come to a place that if you're going to love people, if you're going to lead people, they're going to be mad at you at times. They're going to go crazy. They're going to go off and, you know, happen to Jesus with the 12. It will happen to the best of us. It will happen to the worst of us. And the issue is how can I pastor myself and then how can I pastor others? So, my point in saying this to you is to say this, that we pray and say, what's the root of this? What is really going on? Okay, key number four, this is really where we get to the good stuff. Number four, number five, you can harness your emotions. Let me say this, no emotion of itself is bad. Now, you may immediately want to say, Graham, what's good about being angry? What's good about being depressed? What's good about being frustrated? Actually, a lot. Do you know, I would say there's no emotion you're ever going to go through that isn't good. I would say there's no emotion you're ever going to go through that God doesn't go through, that God doesn't experience. The key is, what do you let it dominate your life or do you change it? You see, if you're frustrated, you can sit there in this morass of frustration saying, oh, I'm so frustrated. What do I do? I'm so frustrated. Or rather, you can say, hey, I'm frustrated. I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to change that. I'm going to tidy this. I'm going to put this in order. I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to do those things. You know, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So be angry. Anger is a good thing when it's directed at the right thing. The thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I am angry when I see sickness and disease. It drives me to have a healing ministry. I am angry when I see lives destroyed. I'm angry when I see poor teaching. When somebody says God doesn't want to heal everybody, he heals somebody, doesn't heal everybody, I get angry. Not at the person propagating that foolish religious teaching, but rather at the lack of biblical teaching that's led them to that and the bondage that that can cause somebody who might believe in that lie to end up in. So harness those emotions. God doesn't want, what Satan wants to do is to, he's not creative. Actually, I was going to say he's not very creative. He's not at all creative. He can't create anything. So what he tries to do is short circuit the emotions God's given you. He tries to use them to drive you into a bad place. He tries to use the very things, the emotions, if you will, you have to push you into a destructive place. And what we should be saying is, Lord, how do I give these emotions to you and actually harness them? Let them be like an ox that pulls the cart. Let my emotions be like the sails that when I put up the wind drives the boat in the right direction. So how do I bring my passion to worship? How do I bring my anger against the things that are wrong in the kingdom of God? So you could do much more. Andrew Womack has a great teaching on that, by the way, harnessing your emotions. But key number five, let me say this. I'll end with this one. But one of the greatest keys I know is God doesn't kind of heal our emotions. There's a lot of nonsense talked about inner healing. God doesn't so much heal our emotions as he displaces them. He brings a different emotion in. So if you're in some emotional state, God doesn't want to heal depression. He wants to give you the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And if you're feeling something today that's real, don't try and squash it down, deny it. Don't try and do that. But rather say, Lord, what is the emotion you are feeling right now? How can I step into your emotions? And I can teach them that a lot. But the best way I know about doing that is praise. There's something happens when you bring your pain, your depression, your frustration to God, and you praise your way through it, and you get filled with the emotions of God, and allow God to give you an emotion which will push out the incorrect emotion. you know, when you're in a situation, say, Lord, what is your heart in this situation? And how do I put that on? Sometimes you've got to do that by faith and then begin to act your faith. So, you know, for instance, if somebody comes into this building tomorrow all depressed, what do they do? Well, I don't feel like worshiping. No, they should say, by faith, I know the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm seated in heavenly places. His joy is mine. So I'll begin to praise. So I'll begin to lift up the name of the Lord. So I'll begin to do this. And when they do that, Holy Spirit brings them into the experience of where their faith is and begins to push out that other thing. So today, if you're bound by sadness, I mean, grace, grace, grace. Write me a note in the comment. I'd love to pray for you. But don't be bound by that. Let the Lord push that out and displace that with his goodness. Boom. Selah. Right, again, thanks for watching this far, guys. Share this. You and I know some people who really need to hear some of the things we've talked about today, in Jesus' name. Hey, again, hit that subscribe button. Check out the links below and share this video. And I hope to see you soon in the plan of God. Bye.